The Bible and Modern Science with your host, Dr. Joseph Henson of the Science Faculty of Bob Jones University. Here is Dr. Henson.
Thank you. On our last program, we had summarized or finished up a discussion of beneficial activities of insects, and we had at least introduced the idea that there are also obviously injurious effects as well. I gave a dollar figure at the end of the program of $5 billion. That is $5 billion of damage per year in the United States. Now, you look around the world at other countries, and I don't really know any way to come up with a reasonable total dollar value for all of the destruction from insects. If you're curious about that kind of thing, why, presumably you can work on that on your own. But we have to recognize that this is the case. If we have in the insects the largest total number of species, then it should be suspected that there will be good as well as bad effects from all of this. And this is what we see. We see certain organisms existing at the expense of others. Other organisms are providing useful activities or products for one species. And this is simply the interdependence that we see in nature. In essence, the biological subject of ecology. Ecology coming from a Greek word, oikos, which means literally the house we live in. You look at the earth as a house with many different apartments, many different renters, many different users in that house, and all kinds of interdependence. It has interested me as I have watched the attempts of man, generally unregenerate man, in recent years to solve what may be a fairly important local problem. And what they discover is that in solving this problem, they have created many others. There is still an experience that I remember from my college days. As I have mentioned previously, if home is where the heart is, my home is in Colorado, and we used to travel back and forth from Greenville to Colorado during Christmas vacation in the summertime. And I remember taking one young lady out to her home out in the country in Colorado, and we passed down a gravel road where, for it seemed to me miles, every fence post had a coyote head on it. Now, the reason for that is that the ranchers began to notice that they were losing young animals, calves and lambs, to the coyotes. So they prevailed on the government to put a bounty on the coyotes, which they did. So the coyote slaughter started. And all went well for a while until they began to notice something else. All of a sudden, they were having an undue number of mature animals, cows, horses, etc., with broken legs. And as it turned out, the coyotes, while it was true that they fed on a calf occasionally, were also keeping down many of the rodents, particularly the prairie dogs. And without that effect of coyotes feeding on prairie dogs, they increased wildly, and their holes increased, and the adult animals began to step in the holes and break legs. So then you had the spectacle of the folks trying to encourage coyote reproduction again. So anytime man starts messing around in nature, there are probably going to be consequences of his action that he simply cannot foresee. And while, in fact, he may succeed in solving one difficulty, there may be a bunch of others that he has created. And it just means that when man starts tinkering, he needs to be cautious about this, because there may be something that seems very clear-cut, and yet there are effects that simply cannot be predicted. And we had begun to look at then some of those undesirable effects of insects, and we'll pursue that a bit. I mentioned the fact that insects will attack cultivated plants. If you have a home garden, you probably are going to have to take some precautions against a variety of different kinds of insects. If you simply plant your seeds and water them and they grow and you leave them alone, You're probably going to be sharing your garden products with insects as well as other animals. Some of these may be ornamentals, they may be food, they may be a variety of plants. There is another area that is worth mentioning here, and that is simply that insects often are a carrier for pathogens for certain plant diseases. Now, I do not know. I happen to have a fair amount of graduate work in the area of mycology, fungi, and also entomology. I've seen figures, one in particular, that there are more than 200 plant diseases that have been shown to be where insects are the vectors, the organisms that carry those diseases into plants. And it affects, as far as I'm aware, there's not any plant that does not suffer the possibility of having a disease which has been transmitted by some insects. Now, if it's an unwanted plant, then we would look on that as being a good thing. If it's a prize rose or tomatoes in our garden, then we take a very different view of it. Sometimes the insects will cause this by feeding. They'll simply go, you may go out one morning and look at your garden, and here are sections of leaves on your plants that have been eaten away, or even the stalk or fruit, depending on what time of the year it is. So this certainly happens. And if you're planning on harvesting reasonable returns from your garden, you're probably going to have to use some insecticide, or at least some kind of practice to inhibit the effects from the feeding of the insects. It's possible for insects to damage plants by ovipositing. I think, again, of the 17-year cicadas, the so-called locusts. They really do not feed on mature plants. Fact of the matter is they have sucking mouth parts, not chewing mouth parts. They're fairly large insects, and if you've ever seen a female, they have rather large ovipositors. So the young will come out of the ground, the larvae, climb up on something high, pupate, shed their skins, climb up in the trees, make their readily recognizable noise for a while. They will mate, lay eggs, and the females will insert their rather large ovipositors into the tenderest portions of the plant. And the effect of that generally is to kill the twig or limb from that point on out. So that kind of damage is not generally going to kill a mature tree, but it certainly is maybe unsightly, and it does cause some damage. So this kind of thing also can occur. I suspect the effects from diseases, however, are of much more consequence, much more important as far as loss or harm is concerned. Sometimes the disease pathogen may simply enter the plant through an opening that is made by plant feeding. So it's not a direct effect, but a somewhat indirect one. Occasionally, the insects may act simply as carriers, mechanical hosts. They will feed on a plant that has the disease there. Then they will leave and go to another plant, and simply by moving from one plant to another, when they begin to feed again, they will inject that particular disease into the new plant. Sometimes there's actually a development of the pathogen within the plant of the insect. And particularly with viral diseases, or what some refer to as molecute diseases, these are caused by organisms such as the mycoplasma or the spiroplasmas. Very tiny organisms, but often these kinds of things are what are actually causing the disease. And it would come to man's attention primarily because of the plants that are involved. Sugarcane, cucumbers, alfalfa, peas, lettuce, maize, sugar beets, potatoes, beans, etc. In all of these cases, these are viral diseases which can be caused directly or indirectly by the effects of insects. The molecules, asters, for example, alfalfa, peach, clover, corn, citrus fruit are examples of fruits where these organisms can cause the disease. There are a number of bacterial diseases that can be transmitted by insects. Grapes, peach, cucumbers, fire blight on pear, apple, quince, corn. There are a few fungal diseases that may be transmitted by insects. So, in some cases, these are immensely important. By that, you can translate the important here to mean immensely costly. They will interfere with the level of the harvest. They will prevent the harvest. They will simply, in some cases, almost wipe out the benefit that would have been gained through those plants. So this is not something that is theoretical. It's something that's very real. Most folks are aware of the fact that insects are pests on wood, primarily termites. Hundreds of millions of dollars of damage caused each year to wood in the United States. In many of the third world countries, this is just foregone. They really do not have the capability or the finances or the desire to prevent this kind of damage. But they know that sooner or later the wood is going to end up, they refer to them sometimes as white ants. And in our country, we take a very dim view of these little critters chewing holes in the floor joists or the studs in the wall or whatever. And so it is something you either take precautions against or you may find some visitors that you really didn't want to have. I don't think wool is primarily, that wool clothing plays a large part in most people's wardrobes. There was a time when it did. And there are some moths that delight, they feed on the wool fibers. And you put these garments away to store them and do not take some precaution, you're going to find the garments when you take them out of the box look like somebody's fired at them with a shotgun. With the synthetic fabrics, that of course is not a problem, so we're not concerned especially any longer about that kind of thing. But there are all sorts of ways in which insects are troublesome and are causing either financial or other types of losses that we would prefer not to have to put up with.
Thank you, Dr. Henson. You may send email to Dr. Henson at jhenson@bju.edu. That's jhenson@bju.edu. Or write to Dr. Joseph L. Henson, Box 34621, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, zip code 29614, in the United States of America. You're invited to listen next time for The Bible and Modern Science.